That's Ray Brown on bass. He also is the leader of the band, in this case, his trio, with a number he titled Mistreated But Undefeated Blues. I love the title. Mistreated But Undefeated Blues. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we're picking up where we left off yesterday. And let me tell you why. Because things have happened. Now I look crazy, but I'm not. I just look it, but I really am not crazy. And you will realize that that is true when I tell you what I'm about to tell you. Many developments, exactly as I pointed it out yesterday, in the case of the ex-police officer, I don't even like saying his name, who is charged. His name is Chauvin. At least this is the way they're pronouncing it. It's a French name. It should be pronounced Chauvin, but okay, Chauvin. And he's on trial in the death of, oh my goodness, what's going on with my pages here? He's in on trial in the death of George Floyd. Okay. So what happened yesterday? We learned that two jurors have been taken off of the panel. Why? Because they said they don't think they can be impartial in this trial, not after the actions of the city council that made it known they had come to an agreement with the family of George Floyd, in a settlement agreement of $27 million. So two jurors who previously had been cleared and were supposed to join the entire group when it is formed, they said, no, we cannot, we don't think we can be impartial in this case. So they're gone. Also, you have other jurors who are waffling. They are saying pretty much the same thing, or they're showing signs that they are about to say the same thing. We don't think that we can be impartial in this case anymore. Well, some people may say, well, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Well, it is a bad thing. And it is a bad thing because, as I pointed out, their decisions about not feeling that they can be impartial in this case were brought on by the council's actions. So there's a direct line there. That doesn't make sense, does it? And this was my point exactly. If people in the council kept their mouths shut until such time that the coast was clear and they could make their decision known without causing any ripple effects, that would have been the preferred thing to do. But no, they had to go because obviously somebody in the city council probably wanted to feel the warm glow of television lights, as they called the news conference, to announce this precedent-setting settlement. Not only that, so we have jurors now waffling, and some who have already said, we don't see that we could be impartial in this case anymore. We just don't see it. added to that is that you have, let me look at my notes. I'm looking. The judge is supposed to rule tomorrow on evidence in a previous case involving the arrest of George Floyd, and whether that, or I should say, whether evidence from that previous trial could be admitted in this one. That was not on the books. Not until the city council did its wonderful thing. Then you have Chauvin's lawyer making or renewing a demand or request, as they would phrase it, of the judge to move the case to another venue. Did I say these things or didn't I say these things? These are the things that would happen and more. And from a legal perspective, they gave Chauvin's lawyer a wonderful gift to redirect this trial. And with what would appear to be perfectly understandable and rational arguments, the city council, he would be able to claim, the city council has poisoned the atmosphere in which this case is to be tried. Therefore, the case must be moved. Where to? We don't know. But he makes a good argument. He would not have had an argument had the city council just kept its mouth shut. Not that they would be hiding anything. They would still be able to make their announcement, but after the trial. You don't do things like this to upset the apple cart even before the trial starts. That was a wonderful gift that they gave, the city council gave Chauvin's lawyer. He probably is sitting down right now writing thank you notes to the members of the city council who did such an intelligent thing. So two jurors are out. They have said they cannot be impartial. Not after that announcement. They can't be impartial in this case. They can't be forced to remain on the panel. They've at least voiced it loudly and clearly. We cannot be impartial in this case. So you're going to have this long effort already is going to get a bit longer as they search for new voters who coming in will know what they need to do to get on this panel. Seven jurors now who have been selected now have to be re-questioned as to whether they think they can be impartial if they continue to sit on the panel of jurors. You see, all this stuff. And it is quite possible that in the mix of all of this is our major issues that might affect the outcome of this case. And that's why I was going crazy about the idea that these people didn't even think They hurried it up and they called a news conference because they can't wait to be in the warm glow of television lights. Meanwhile, they're just possibly destroying the case. And then on top of that, to announce that the city council has negotiated a settlement with the family of George Floyd to the tune, the precedent-setting tune of $27 million. Have we gone mad in this country? Nobody has apologized. Nobody has said they made a mistake and what, nothing. They're just moving ahead. They got what they wanted, which was TV providing live coverage. My God, we have so far to go. So I just thought I would point this out to you because I told you this. I told you this city council just gave them the best gift, the defense, the best gift they could have. As the case isn't even started yet. And they're starting on a much better foot than they would have had the city council not decided on doing its brilliant thing. That's what happens when you have non-thinking people in positions of power who not only don't they know what they're doing, they don't ask anybody who might know what they ought to do. They don't ask. They're so excited to take credit for this precedent-setting settlement. They rushed to tell people even before the weekend was out. And now look at the damage already caused. And we still don't know what the likely impact it might have on the trial, you know, as it proceeds, and certainly on the decisions coming out of this trial. We don't know. But what we do know, as I said, and I insist on reminding you, this was beyond a stupid thing to do. Stupid beyond belief. And right away, the defense seized on it, and they're making the best that they can out of this gift that they were given by a group of very zealous and anxious city council members who wanted to feel the glow of the television lights. This is when you say to yourself, you mean to tell me there wasn't one working brain in the entire city council? Not one that could have said, I mean, you didn't have to be a lawyer or have gone to law school or have gotten your graduate degree in something or the other. None of that was necessary. Just your plain common sense and your logic should have told you what you needed to do, and more importantly, what you did not need to do. Because after this, I just want to point this out because this is how things work. Chauvin is just the first cop to be tried with regard to George Floyd. But there are three more cops. What is going to be the impact on the cases against them? Okay, so I thought I would bring that to your attention because it didn't take long. It did not take long for these developments to occur. And now they are pivotal to the trial. Whether it goes forward as was intended, when we see that, you know, two jurors are off the panel, and the remaining seven of the nine jurors who had been selected will now be questioned again. And we don't know how many of that group will also say, I don't think I can be impartial in this case, just to get off of this jury, because there's going to be a lot of consequences down the road. And nobody, this is a major, major case. Nobody wants to be associated with a case with so many twists and turns, each twist and turn providing questions as to the authenticity of the trial. That's why I was as angry as I was. This is the consequence today. It took just one day. And then we could look down the road still further to see if this trial does go ahead. What happens in the event that Chauvin is found not guilty? You know, it's all resting. It's all coming from the same source. It's all coming from this stupid act. You see what I mean? Anyway, so I thought I would make that known and follow up yesterday's comment about it. You might have thought I was just kind of out there, but now you see why. Now you see what I'm talking about when I said they handed the defense lawyer a lot of wonderful gifts, and he will make use of them in order to defend his client. He'd be crazy if he doesn't. Okay, so that's that. You certainly are welcome to add your voice or your comment at 888-874-4888. There are other subjects I want to move on to, but it was imperative that I point this out to you so you can see the relationship of cause and effect, a cause that didn't have to be a cause. But people who did not stop to think and think critically, this is what they created, a mess already before this thing actually gets off the ground. So if you want to comment on that, please do call at 888-874-4888. I want to talk also, I'm unable to locate my notes. I'm fidgeting here. What is this? I am not like that at all. I'm very well organized to a sickening degree. But today, my notes are all over the place. I ran out of my notebook. It was too filled, so I had to use a new one. And in transferring information from one to the other, it got mixed up terribly. I wanted to talk about Governor Mario, not Mario, that was, I'm dating myself, Governor Andrew Cuomo, Andrew Cuomo of New York, and what's happening there. Do you have a handle on what is happening there or what is said to be happening there? Please give a call and share it with us so we can join the conversation. Bottom line is the governor is up against some rather serious criticism for the way he has been conducting himself personally in office. A number of women, several women, have come forward claiming that they were sexually harassed and sexually attacked by the governor over a period of time. And it looks like there are others in queue waiting to tell their stories. Cuomo, on the other hand, has decided that he is going to stand firm on his contention that no such thing happened. They're making it up. It's all lies. And the Democrats, leading Democrats, and Cuomo is a Democrat, as was his father, he has decided he's going to, be very resolute in his defiance. Major Democrats, on the other hand, are encouraging him to step aside as the complaints mount and the charges become more and more salacious. It's not a good picture right now for the governor. The president of the United States, Joe Biden, has encouraged, when he was asked the question, should the governor of New York resign? He took a nice safe out. He said, not until we see or hear the results of a probe that is in play right now. So until we know what the results of the probe are, Biden says he's making no further comment. Very smart and statesmanlike position. But I tell you, people are thinking it's time for Cuomo to go. He has become a distraction. He's become an embarrassment for the party. And on the other side of it, the question that you can ask is, well, is it fair? Is it fair that he should quit? Nobody has brought definitive proof of anything. What we have been told as the public is, stories from several women. Is it possible that they're lying? It's possible. Is it possible that they're telling the truth? It's quite possible. So what do you do? How should this be handled? I'm asking you, if you had the power and authority to determine what should happen here, what will your decision be? 888-874-4888. It's time to get our first crop of questions coming in. Let me just make sure that we are in good shape on that front. Oh, I have this new phone and this new setup, and I have no idea why it keeps asking me to repeat things so many times when you would think, well, I did it, remember it, and give me a break. Give me a break. Let me get back to my, it keeps telling me incorrect information entered. But you see what the question is here. It's very, very clear. We've been through many cycles of public officials, highly placed public officials, basically being targeted by complaints of sexual misconduct, harassment, and so forth. And of course, the first thing they say is, I don't know what you guys are talking about. That never happened. And they begin the campaign to reverse the campaign to focus on the women bringing these complaints. What is your view of Cuomo in this regard? Is Cuomo sounding like he's making up a defense, or is Cuomo sounding like a guy who was targeted by the alleged victims of this crime? I'm trying to get to my things here. All right, let's take a little break while I figure out what's going on with my computer, and I'll be right back, right after this. Yes, we are. I'm back. I found my place. I found the missing information. All right, so let's take a call from Gene from Maryland. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Eutrice, and thank you for taking my call.
Hello. Thanks for calling.
So, I prepared myself to talk about Minneapolis, but you did jump on the governor. Frankly, I'd be happy to see the man go. But these are for other reasons. I see him as a bully, and I think he should just find something else to do at this point. And maybe he could join Joe Bruno upstate somewhere. I don't know. But
it doesn't matter to you the validity of the charges against him and whether he's entitled to defend himself?
Well, I do believe that he's entitled to defend himself, and I certainly can see a space, given his demeanor, where this kind of behavior against these women and perhaps others would certainly lend itself to us believing that indeed this kind of thing is going on. But, you know, I'm certainly not close enough to it to really lend an opinion one way or another. I'm simply saying that as a governor, he has been a very, very difficult individual to have to watch take action in office in
but
the capacity
let me ask
of a
you,
governor.
Is that enough? Is that valid reason to remove him or to encourage him to quit?
Well, to encourage him to quit is different from removing him. Those are completely different exercises.
It may be, but in the end, the result is what you want. You want him gone.
Well, I mean, the good news for me personally is I live in Maryland, but he's not my governor. But I do follow the news.
Yes.
He has shown himself to be a dictator. That's too strong. But an individual who is less concerned about all of his constituents, I think, is probably a better way to look at him. And a bully. And that's just
yes,
too much.
But are these indictable offenses, as you see them, being a bully and very difficult
no.
to work with? And
no, they're
know,
not.
Obnoxious?
They're not.
Okay.
And I freely admit that. But it's just painful to watch. That's the only point I'm making.
However, he's got to go because it's painful to watch him.
No, He's got to go because he's lied to us about his response to the coronavirus. He's lied to us about how many people have actually died under his
watch.
But
he's not charged with that.
Well, but this is my point. That's why I'm saying the things that he is charged with, which aren't even charges at this point, they're allegations.
Correct.
And
the allegations.
They're allegations. So, you know, as far as this whole thing is concerned, there's nothing to remove him with. Now, the only thing that's there is encouragement at this point. Until
now,
some charges
in
are
that asked. Sense, in that sense, how do you read the actions of highly placed Democrats from the state of New York who are saying to him, get out?
I view those actions from highly placed Democrats from the state of New York the same way that I viewed actions from Nancy Pelosi with respect to charges against Donald Trump. Useless. Totally, 100% useless.
All
if
right.
You're
if
charge
you say
somebody
so,
with something,
I know you're thinking
them.
That, but there's something there, and you didn't follow the hint. I was giving you a hint.
Well, no, I think I get what you're saying.
That you have all these Democrats, it's not typical of any party that even without charges being formally filed, that so many of the leading members of the party would say or would encourage the governor to step down.
But that's not true.
Unless
we saw this with Al Franken, you'll recall, where there were lines of Democrats that were asking Al Franken to step down.
Yes, because there were lines of women coming forward to testify against him.
Same here. No difference.
Not so. There hasn't been a line. There have been lines of women coming to testify against Cuomo. There have been a few.
Yeah,
but
give it time.
It could be the case that there are a couple of lines forming as we speak.
Yes, you said that there is a queue. But Utrice, I did call to ask a question or to point something out about Minnesota, if I could just quickly.
Sure.
Okay. I think we make a mistake if we are looking to the city council of Minneapolis to do something that brings justice. I think that the city council and the Minneapolis Office of Risk Management, which there is one, would be taking steps to limit their risk and limit their liability. There was this videotape, which was very clear that an officer, an employee of the state, murdered a man on video.
We can't say that. We can't say the videotape shows that he murdered Chauvin,
okay.
Murdered.
Fair enough.
George Floyd.
That the videotape showed that this officer and others were involved with the death of a man.
That's
directly.
Why the trial is on. That's why there's
Understood.
A trial.
Understood. But the point that I'm making here is that the city council is not interested in justice for George Floyd. The city council is interested in reducing and limiting the liability for the city, taking a preemptive action.
Whatever it is, and I'm going to go with your suggestion that they're just interested in reducing liability. It means even if it comes to that, then they would be operating in their interest to do that.
Yes.
But that's not what we're looking at here. What they did was make a judgment that, first of all, they're not authorized to make. This is a trial. There's a prosecutor who happens to be a city employee. There are rules as to how far you can go before you are seen as interfering, putting your nose where it doesn't belong. And that was my position. They should have had no statement to make, and yet beyond that to associate their action in getting this arrangement made as a victory, and that they were claiming. They were so wrong with this, completely wrong.
That's why you have a prosecutor. I don't disagree with you, with the exception that the prosecutor is in the process of managing a criminal case, and a settlement for money is a civil matter. So
it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It comes down to blame. Who is responsible, whether it's civil or whether it's criminal? Who is responsible ultimately for the death of George Floyd? That's the central question.
And once again, it's the city's action in providing the settlement that they can now limit their liability to a maximum of $27 million.
I don't care.
I'm not saying that is right. I'm just saying that this is what they did.
Irrelevant. What is irrelevant? It is irrelevant to me. And it should be irrelevant to everybody in Minneapolis and everybody across the country.
Yes,
the city council
I'm just saying this is what they did.
It will make up a law or make up authorities that it does not have. And delighted in the fact that it didn't matter whether they were railroading this case. It mattered only that they got their minutes of fame. And that to me was so shameful. It still is. Mm-hmm. And something ought to be done about it. There are strict rules about how far you can go, what your purpose is, what your authority is. And they have no authority as a city council in participating in such an extraordinary trial. They should have no role to play in that at all. And their better judgment would have been to just shut up.
I do agree. I'm just saying that they took the action that they did for a different set of reasons beyond the proper adjudication and outcome in a case. They did it for reasons of their own.
Yes, but we don't care. We don't care what their reasons are.
I'm not disagreeing with you at all. I do agree.
They're wrong, and they have caused a great deal more damage than even they know. By being reckless in the way they chose to exercise their authority. They were wrong. No question about it. And we should not give them the benefit of any doubt. They have a prosecutor there, right there in the court. They have a prosecutor.
And they should have sought advice. I think the interesting thing about the prosecutor is the prosecutor hasn't said anything.
Well, put yourself in the prosecutor's case for a minute and ask yourself, what would you do?
Right. Well, I mean,
they technically are your bosses.
Yes.
Okay. So you're not going to have a public squabble over something. You're going to try and fix it behind closed doors, but the damage is already done.
Which is
they
even worse now, because when he loses,
of the prosecutor.
If the prosecutor loses now, it'll be the prosecutor's fault for losing the case instead of looking back at this particular history.
And that's the problem. That's also the burden that the city council must bear. It would definitely not be the prosecutor's fault, so to speak, that an out-of-control city council decided that they will do what they want to do and how they want to do it, irrespective of the possible damage that they could cause. And again, I just read you from my notes. This is big. I hardly ever read from my notes. But it was important to say, I just talked about it, and this was just my thinking. I'm not intimately involved in the details of this case as they are. But you could see how wrong it is.
Yeah, it's very wrong.
Thanks for calling and getting us started today. Thanks so much. Gwen from New York, you're on the air. Hi, Gwen.
Hello? Hi, I'm here. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Getting a little happy. How are you?
Okay, how are you doing?
I'm okay. I've been thinking about the Andrew Cuomo case, and you know, I'm not a fan of Andrew Cuomo in a lot of issues. I think issues are really important. But, you know, what really impressed me during his leadership, because I'm originally from Pennsylvania, and I watched all these governors totally capitulate to the money involved in fracking. And fracking has just destroyed drinking water. It's destroyed so much. And so when Andrew Cuomo said no to fracking, I had to give him credit, a lot of credit, because I know that almost everyone falls under the pressure of these big money groups. And instead, he allowed us to keep the water clean. He gave us, you know, the area where they wanted to frack is still beautiful. And I'm sorry, but the environment is hugely important. I don't care what anybody says. Global warming is not coming. It's here. And these things that we keep doing over and over again are making it worse. So I have to say I was extremely impressed by that. And when I found out about the women, I listened to this. And I want to tell you first that I was sexually assaulted as my very first, you know, parlay with sex. And so I think that I can weigh in pretty seriously here. You know, rape is a very hard thing to go through. And as far as no one should have to go through that. And but when I hear these accusations and then we say, and because of these accusations, we are going to throw this governor out of office, I start to get a little upset, because I don't agree with the first caller. I happen to think Al Franken was a great leader. He was very far to the left, and we do not have very many voices like that. And it was a prank or whatever he did. He was in his 20s. And I feel that, you know, to dig up something from 20 years ago that was a kiss, you know, and then you throw this guy out of a very, very important job, a person who has a sensibility of being pretty far to the left and not afraid to stand up for that. I just think that you have to put things in context. And so
I think you're putting them in the wrong context. I don't see how you can't see the relationship between that you can see them as on the same plane, and they're not. It is one thing to say, well, this guy is a leftist. He's got a consistent history of being on the right side of issues and events. He's a brave guy. He stands up for things. That's one thing. But if the same guy is accused of sexually assaulting women, I don't see how you could have one thing cancel the other out.
They're not canceling each other out, because here's the thing. What I've listened to so far were people that said things like, I felt like. Now, if you were in a court of law, you couldn't say, I felt like, and somebody would be convicted for that. That is not enough to build a case.
Yes, and but so you're not understanding the critical point here. And the critical point is, at this stage, it is a probe. It is a probe.
Well, it's a probe, but they're telling him to step down. Everyone's telling him to step down. But can I just finish this? Because I think this is important. Because I think what also is happening at the same time, and if you told me that this was the reason why you thought Andrew Cuomo should come down, then I would probably agree with you. There was approximately 15,000 people that died of COVID. And they died because rather than being taken to the hospital to be treated for COVID, they were put in nursing homes. This is my understanding of what happened here. It wasn't the miscount. It was the fact that you put people in nursing homes where nursing homes told them, we can't accommodate them because we don't have the medical apparatuses available or even the enough people to take care of these people. And when you put them in the nursing homes, you must have known that it was not only a death sentence for them, but it was going to be a death sentence for other people that lived in the nursing home who weren't sick, as well as the staff. And so I do have a big, big problem with that. Understand the people who had people die in those nursing homes never got to see them before they died. And for me, who lives here, very close to Mount Sinai, I'm going to tell you, there was a big tent hospital in the middle of Central Park, which never got used. I was there every day. Maybe they had four or five people go in there. There was a ship that was empty. Nobody used that. And there was a Javis Center, which was empty. So unless these people were all brought in before we had any of that available, then I think, that is the real beef here. Not the sexual prowess. I think that is the real, I think that's the real issue underneath
they're using this to get rid of them,
but that's
the people are responding to the complaints that were filed against him. It's not that it's just talking, that these are complaints of women.
They are, Utrecht, but why are they filing them now? Why didn't they file them?
But it doesn't matter whether they file them now or they filed them last week or that they will file them a month from now. The fact is, they are legitimate complaints.
I'm not saying they're not legitimate complaints. I'm not saying they're not legitimate.
Yes, but at the same time, you're saying what is more important. You are giving us.
Well, all I can say is when I look at the Republican Party, and Donald Trump is an accused rapist of a 13-year-old child. It went to court with all of the sexual prowess, the disgusting things that he admitted to doing, and that they felt that his leadership was more important than other things on that side. Now, if Cuomo was being hauled into court for sexual assault, rape, something like that, that would be very, very serious. But, I don't know that we need to throw out effective leadership. And in some things, he's very effective because somebody you felt wanted to kiss you. I'm just not sure that's a good enough reason.
Here's the problem with your position. You're mixing up two entirely different things and attempting to cancel one out in favor of the other. No, they're both important. And they both need to be paid attention to.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's happening. The women have come forward, not just last week. They came forward a while ago, and their complaints were effectively thwarted. And they had to push and push and push for somebody to take a look at this. It was ignored. Because, of course, this is the governor. He's got a lot of sway. He's got a lot of influence and power. But now, even heavy-duty Democrats are saying no. What we have heard about and what we have seen so far leads us to believe that you need to go. And that this probe should continue, but not with you in office.
Well, I
what
think...
What you disagree with there?
Look, I did not agree with the decision to remove Al Franken. And I'm sorry that I can't just jump on the bandwagon and just dump somebody because of something that happened 20 something years ago that was not, you know, it might have been rude, but that's as far as it went. But in this case with Governor Cuomo, my feeling is that this is not about these women or the kissing or anything else. I think it's very much about the nursing home. And I think it's a ruse to get him out, maybe even to protect him from taking any charges with what happened actually at those nursing homes. What happened at those nursing homes are very, very serious. And I kind of feel like it's just a front to get him out in a safe way so that he actually doesn't have to deal with any of the charges that are being alleged by the families of the nursing homes. And so my eyes are not going to be, I'm just not going to go along with it because there's a Democratic pileup. Remember, there's a Democratic pileup to get rid of Bernie Sanders. There was a Democratic pileup to get rid of Al Franken. You know, a pileup does not make it true. It just doesn't make it true, and it doesn't make it right either.
But don't interpret what I say and do so incorrectly. I have not intimated that there's this causal relationship between the two. I'm saying, let's look at what the allegations are. There's a probe. Why can't we just wait until the probe is done?
I agree with you because as I'm listening to you, there are things you're telling me that I was not aware of. Okay. So a probe is really important. And I think it's important to let that finish before you do a pile up on somebody and potentially destroy their lives and the people that have had faith in his leadership before you just throw them under the bus. So I agree with you that the probe is the most important thing. And I do think it's best to reserve judgment until we get to the end of the probe. So, you know,
meantime, public sentiment is also growing. And even among his party, the leadership of the party is disenchanted and is encouraging to get out. But we'll see how it all goes.
Right.
We've come to the end of the program. We've run out of time. And we can certainly feel free tomorrow to call back and finish up your thoughts, but we can't do them today. We're out of time. And I thank you all for calling. And the advice goes to you too. Those of you who haven't been able to get on today, I'll be more than happy to accommodate you tomorrow as well. All right. Bye-bye.